right, one left. Ponder out of the shotgun. Takes the snap. Protected sweetly. Deep to Percy in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening. Welcome to Vikings Live on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Indeed, I am Paul Allen, the play-by-play guy for the Minnesota Vikings. Super excited for the Vikings and the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend. Single-game seats to all Vikings home games are available at Vikings.com. And weekly, we will begin Vikings Live with Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier, who joins us now. Leslie, how you doing?
Pleasure to be here, Paul. Thanks for having me.
No problem, sir. A little different up to this regular season compared to last year, correct? Mm. With the lockout and a veteran quarterback here, 12th overall pick, didn't get an offseason. It's much more relaxed this year.
Yeah, no question about it. It's been great for us to have an offseason, great for Christian, great for our entire team and our coaches as well to prepare for this season in a proper way. So we're excited to kick it off.
What's the level of excitement? Gauge it by the players on your team up to this game. Is it more excitement, anxiety? Are they frustrated that a lot of people nationally put you guys on 4, 5, 6 wins? You know, and everybody says that we don't follow that, we don't see it, we don't hear it, but they all do. They just don't react to it.
I get the sense that our guys are pretty excited about kicking the season off. I mean, they worked extremely hard this entire offseason through training camp, and they're anxious to line up on the field and play a team, play another team. So I think there's a sense of excitement.
With as many years as you've been in the league, either as a player with Cincinnati Bengals, Indianapolis Colts, as a coach, here as a coach, defensive coordinator, now head coach, are you able at this stage of the process to judge the personality of your team, whether it's a tightly knit team, you have cliques, you have egos? What type of team is this, or is it too early to tell?
Well, it seems that we're coming together in that era. That was one of the things when we went to training camp, was a goal of myself and the rest of the staff to bring this team together and create an identity. And it seems like that's being formulated. Now, we need to go through some things over the course of a season. But I sense that this group really likes playing together and they trust one another. And that's what you need early in the season.
The crowd this weekend against Jacksonville, Mall of America Field, being loud and forgetting the 3-13, it can help a ton against a guy like Blaine Gabbert, right?
Oh, our fans in the Metrodome at Mall of America Field, I mean, it's a terrific atmosphere, as you know. It's one of the toughest places to be a road team to face anytime you come to the Metrodome. So we're excited to be playing at home to open the season at home with our fans. So it's going to be great.
They'll get real loud if 28 plays. What's his inclusion?
Well, we're working on that. You know, we'll have a determination here, and we'll find out when game time starts.
So to read between the lines, you know exactly what you want to do with him, when you want to do it. But as a competitive disadvantage or the potential goes, as good as he is, why share? Why have it go national? We'll just have to wait till Sunday, right?
Yeah, and that's real. You know, when I mentioned that over the course of the week, that we're waiting and we want to be able to take him through some things during the week. I mean, that's real. We want to make sure that he's ready to play in an NFL game before we put him on the field.
If he had his choice, he'd carry it 25 times, right?
Oh, no question. I mean, Adrian, if he had his druthers, he would have played in the preseason, and he'd go out there and score 3 touchdowns and rush for 200 yards. And we'd all love to see that, but he is coming off a major knee surgery, so we'll have to wait and see.
Stay to the running back grouping for a second, Leslie. Leslie Frazier, our guest on Vikings Live on the Vikings Radio Network. Kind of an obscure question up to the Jacksonville game, but it's the first time I've chatted with you since cuts. Matt Asiata, even though he may be a healthy scratch weekly, who knows, mm-hmm. depending on injuries or whatever, what did he do to make the team? Because I thought it was kind of a good story.
Well, yeah, I think Matt's story is a great story when you consider he was with us a year ago in the season where, as you mentioned earlier, there was a lockout. So he comes to training camp, and he's one of those guys kind of behind the eight ball, not having to have a chance to work with our staff and learn our system, and really looked like a completely different player coming back this 2012 season in training camp because of his experience in the offseason. So, and then when he got into preseason games, the plays that he made, it really became obvious to us that he deserved that third running back position. And he's a very good special teams player. So it's a great story, and we're excited for Matt.
And he's interesting in that he's not as fast as a tailback, and he's not as big as a fullback, but he does he can play tailback, and he can play fullback, and he has a little wiggle.
He does. I mean, he has great vision as a runner. You could see at times where it looked like there was nothing there, and then he'd find a crease, and he'd hit it. He had just enough quickness and speed and vision to make plays for us. And you're right. He has that dual capability of being able to play a little bit of fullback and play some tailback as well.
How did the offensive line, the reconfigured offensive line, Khalil into Johnson, Sullivan, Fusco, and Loadhold, how did it progress during the preseason?
I thought we got better as time went on, and I think we'll continue to grow as an offensive line as the season goes. And I'm excited about the group. I think we're a better offensive line than we were when we entered the season a year ago. So should be a good group.
The right guard, Brandon Fusco, is it a game-by-game thing with him, month-by-month, or is it his job and we're just going to raise Brandon Fusco?
Well, we're counting on Brandon. I mean, we're anticipating him playing for 16 games and playing well and just improving as the year goes on. And we're not looking and trying to find someone to beat him out. He's earned a job. He's done a very good job, and we're looking forward to watching him grow.
Charlie Johnson was your tackle last year. Now he's your left guard. Differentiate between a guard and a tackle. How can you play both, and how can you determine whether a guy is better at one?
Well, in our league, they have become very distinguishable. The left tackle position or right tackle, those guys are blocking sometimes the premier defensive lineman in the National Football League because of the skill set of the defensive ends that play in the NFL today. Whereas at the guard position, you're blocking a guy who is more of a, you know, a big, powerful guy who wants to overrun you at times, maybe not as quick as a defensive end or as fast as a defensive end. So the responsibilities are a little bit different. You're out in space when you're a tackle versus more in line as a guard. So you ask the guard and the tackles to do two different things.
Has Phil Loadholt been a little uneven the last couple of years? And in a contract year, is he ready to dominate the right side of the line?
Well, that's what we're counting on. We really need him to be consistent week in and week out. You know, we've challenged him in that area to do that. He wants to be more consistent. We know he's capable of being a dominant right tackle in our league. And you're right, it's a contract year, so hopefully it'll be his best year.
Will John Carlson, the tight end from Litchfield, Minnesota, by way of a Notre Dame in Seattle, will he play this weekend, and how is his fitness?
Well, he's had a good week of practice. We expect him to be able to play on Sunday based on what he's done so far in practice. So we need him. He's an outstanding catching tight end and has some ability when he blocks the point of attack as well. So we'd like to be able to pair he and Kyle together.
When you get your full complement of players available off suspension or fitness-wise getting John up to speed, when you have Carlson, Rudolph, Percy Harvin, Jerome Simpson, Ponder, Adrian Peterson, What can you do with that maybe you can't do right now?
Well, Jerome adds a whole nother element to our offense when he does become available. His speed, his quickness, his playmaking ability, I mean, those things were evident in the time that we had him in the preseason and our all-season program as well. So we look forward to, you know, getting him back in the fold. But with John, with Percy, if we are able to get Adrian back, or if it's Toby, we still think we have some playmakers that will make plays for us within our offense.
Starting safeties, Harrison Smith, Mistral Raymond.
Yeah, those will be our starters. We're really pleased with the way Harrison has come along. Mistral has done a good job for us in the preseason. He's coming off of an injury right now, but we're excited about that pair.
How secure is the nickel situation from a cornerback standpoint? Is it Josh Robinson's job now, or will he battle A.J. Jefferson?
Well, we want to give A.J. a chance, but you know, he has to get up to speed on what we're doing defensively. And as he gains more experience in what we're doing and gains a little bit more confidence, we'd like to get him in the mix. But for now, we want to find out what Josh can do in some game situations. We thought he did a good job in the preseason. We like Brandon Burton as well, so those two guys will get the brunt of the work in our nickel package.
What made you guys want to trade for A.J. Jefferson?
We like, Paul, his man-to-man coverability. That showed up, and that was something that we want to be able to do, play a little bit more man. He can also play zone coverage and play it well. He can play off. He can play press. And he's a willing tackler. So he had some of the things that we think we need in our division to be successful.
In all your years here, either as the defensive coordinator or as the head coach, certainly the youngest you've been in the secondary, but with the numbers count, the deepest too. But the reasoning behind that, to avoid what you had to look at last year just in case you get injuries?
Well, the last couple of years, our secondary has been decimated with injuries, and it's been an issue, and we were finally able to address it this offseason. It was a point of emphasis, and I think we got it done. You know, not to say that there won't be injuries again, but our depth is far superior than it has been the last two seasons.
Leslie, the general manager clearly has a plan, and it's that of youth. How does that impact your approach this season?
Well, when we sit down and talked about our roster at the end of the season, you know, we agreed that this is the direction we needed to go to have a chance to be successful. And I think it's the right move. I think we're headed in the right direction.
For the future. I mean, because for this year, hopefully you win all your games. But I would imagine as a head coach, you have to be secure within your own skin to look at the youth on the roster, including the second-year quarterback, and say, yeah, this is the right thing to do for X amount of years of the organization, you know, where in turn, kind of like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they bring in all these veterans and everything. They're going to make a run. If that doesn't work, that window's going to close. Somebody's going to get their fingers jammed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us, it was the right thing to do, as I mentioned before. And I'm, as a coach, as a head coach, and for our assistant coaches, we're going to work as hard as we can to have a successful 2012. And some of our players are going to develop over time, and we want to bring them along. That's our job. That's what we get paid to do. And but we want to get as many wins as we can in 2012. We're not looking at 2013, 14, 15. We're trying to win in 2012.
A couple of quickies for Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier to close. Bill Musgrave, Percy Harvin, and Wobby from Vikings.com on the horizon. Justin Blackmon, their rookie receiver. What do we need to know?
Well, he's a big play guy. I mean, you know, he was highly touted coming out of college. He was a guy we took a look at as well. He's had a good preseason. He really seems to be Blaine Gabbert's number one target, and we'll have to pay attention to him in the ballgame.
How did Blaine look during the preseason?
He looks like a much-improved quarterback from his rookie season. It seems as if the new coaching staff really put in some things that play to his strengths, and that showed up in the preseason.
How is Jarius Wright's ankle?
He's doing a little bit better. He won't be available, it looks like, for this first ball game, but we should get him back hopefully for the second game.
Leslie, best of luck.
Thank you
for the conversation. We're all pulling for you, man, and beat Jacksonville. We'll move on from there.
All right, thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave around the corner on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park continues on the Vikings Radio Network with Vikings offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave. I'm Paul Allen. We have the Jaguars this weekend. Mr. Musgrave, good evening to you, sir. Are things well?
Things are well. Good evening.
Good evening. Off the preseason, the offense into the first game, how you feel about it?
Well, we've got a lot of work to do. We had some good experiences both on the road in San Francisco and Houston, then in the two home games that I think will bode well for us. We did some good things, but there's some things that we definitely have to get polished up.
In the third preseason game against San Diego, without Jerome Simpson and Adrian Peterson, were you able to properly see what you wanted to see in that supposedly important preseason game into the regular season, despite not having two of your faster guys?
Well, yeah, it's good for everybody to be out on the field, whether they have their teammates with them or not. It's just part of the preparation. I know it'll bode well for us.
You worked in Atlanta with Jaguars coach Mike Mularkey. How can you help Leslie Frazier and the team by knowing him so well?
I don't know if I can help very much. I do have a familiarity with him, but our defense is ready to go. We've had a great defense here for the Vikings for years, so we'll have another strong group this year, I know.
Does Mike want to run first, or does it depend on personnel, situation, stuff like that?
It probably depends on personnel, but he definitely believes in the running game all the way back to his days with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
How do you expect Jacksonville to attack you defensively?
Well, they've got a good front seven. They're a little bit banged up in the secondary, but they're probably going to get healthy at just about the right time. So we'll have our work cut out for us. The front seven is a stout one, and that matches up well with our offensive line, which we perceive as a strength. Also,
I'm going to bring this up to Percy Harvin after you, but if you look at just the names on the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, you might be misled a little bit because there is a little bit of anonymity there for those who may not follow the game as closely as some others, but that doesn't mean they're not good. It's a really rough and tumble defense, isn't it?
It is. When you put on the film and you start to game plan this group and anticipate what may work and what may have a tough time, it's tough to watch them on film because they're very stout. They play with high effort and they're very aggressive.
With Adrian Peterson's inclusion in this game, is it a touch and go situation or business as usual?
Probably a little bit of both. There's some unknowns there, and we'll have to be ready to adapt and adjust depending on how it goes Sunday.
What did you guys like about Matt Asiata to help him make the team at the end of the preseason?
He ran the ball well for us. When he was on the field, the ball moved down the field. He knows what to do in pass protection. He's got some juice when the ball's under his arm.
Quarterback McLeod Bethel Thompson. What do you like about him too, with the opportunity to groom him maybe for future years of Vikings football?
Yeah, he's got a chance to develop. You know, he's a young guy with very little experience, but he's got some tools there.
Did Devin Aromashadu win a spot on the team in Houston, or was he already in the mix?
I'd have to think back. Those are part of the meetings that we have each and every week, but Devin's been a stalwart for us, and we can always count on Devin.
What are some of the traits that will make rookie Rhett Ellison a crowd favorite?
He's a hard worker. He's always willing to do the dirty work, and it's going to be tough to keep him off the field because he has a lot of good positive traits.
Last one. What makes it much easier for you to do your job this year with a full offseason and a quarterback who buys into what you're trying to sell and you can groom him?
Well, each day we definitely grow in our system, and we're getting better and better each and every day. So this first game is important, but it still counts one, just one. And we'll look to make strides and come out on the right end with the outcome we're looking for.
Thank you, Bill. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bill Musgrave, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Bill's offense last year, again, with a quirky offseason, no rookie camp, no organized team activities, no mini camps. The offense ended up averaging 21 points per game and at times was extremely run heavy. And I think if you were to get Bill to open a vein, definitely one thing he would want to do this year is pass more and pass more explosively. So if the premise and the theme in the offseason was making 2012, about Christian Ponder and giving Christian Ponder some complementary talent around him, you can just look at where it started through the combine up to a free agency, where it's my belief they flirted with Pierre Garçon, the former Indianapolis Colts wide receiver. He ends up going to Washington for more money than I think the Vikings were willing to give him from a guaranteed standpoint. So they get Jerome Simpson, the fast receiver from Cincinnati, even knowing he's most likely facing a suspension early in the season. You have that through free agency. John Carlson, the Litchfield, Minnesota native, they bring him in. Now, he misses the preseason due to an injury, but he very well could play this Sunday against the Jaguars and hopefully play well, assuming the conditioning is where it needs to be. But then you get to the draft, and the splashiest pick they had was the fourth overall pick, Matt Khalil, the left tackle from USC. In bringing in Matt for Bill Musgrave, you're able to move previous left tackle Charlie Johnson to left guard. John Sullivan will stay at center. Brandon Fusco plays right guard. Phil Loadholt in a contract year, he will be the right tackle. The belief is with that reconfigured offensive line, eventually the speed outside of Jerome Simpson, Michael Jenkins and his reliability, Kyle Rudolph and his improved health, John Carlson, once he gets going, Rhett Ellison, who could be a steal of the draft. I think Vikings fans are going to fall in love with Rhett Ellison beginning this Sunday against the Jaguars, a very energetic player, does a lot of the dirty work things, but catches the ball a little better than people think and probably is a little faster than people think, too. You have that approach. Then you draft Jarius Wright and Greg Childs. You lose Greg Childs on the final play, sadly, on the final play of the scrimmage in Mankato, but you're still left with a Jarius Wright, who had a really, really good game against the Houston Texans before injuring his ankle. And outside of that, Devin Aromashadu, Stephen Burton, they'll receive opportunities along with the best slot receiver in the NFL and Percy Harvin. Then in the backfield, of course, Adrian Peterson along with Toby Gerhardt. So long story longer, the quarterback, Christian Ponder, has a better chance to succeed this year on multiple levels. First of all, he was the beneficiary of having an entire offseason of organized team activities and a mini camp and a training camp and preseason where he played through the third preseason game. Two games were really good for Christian, one not so much. But his offensive coordinator, Bill Musgrave, he also had the benefit of having the entire offseason to implement his plays and his philosophies and his system. And that should be beneficial to not only Christian Ponder, but the rest of the offense. So expect the Vikings to score more than 21 points per game. Hopefully they can get more than that this Sunday against Jacksonville, where the kickoff on the Vikings Radio Network is at noon. Percy Harvin's around the corner. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen joined by Minnesota Vikings receiver Percy Harvin. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend. Percy, what do you think of the Jaguars defense? You look at it, this seems to be the type of defense where you can't look at the names to necessarily realize how tough this defense can be.
They're definitely tough. They've gotten tougher over the years. This year they went younger, so they got a lot of young guys that's flying around right now. So they're definitely looking solid right now. So we got to go out there and look to execute and, execute our game plan.
Would you say it's a tougher, more physical defense than it is a fast fly around the field type defense?
They're definitely physical. They're one of the more bigger teams as far as the corners and the safeties being the 6'2", 6'1", and 6'2" guys. So they're definitely bigger. Like I said, we just got to go out there and execute our game plan.
What's new about you off the preseason? You were Rookie of the Year in 2009, obviously one of the, if not the best slot receivers in the NFL. What's new with you at this stage of your career?
I don't think anything's new. I just think I've just grown. I looked at a lot of the mistakes. Asked a lot of defenders, and particularly Antoine Winfield during the camp. Just a lot of little things I was doing to make him break on some of my routes or to make him sit on some of my routes. So I think I got a good telling on what the DBs are looking at when they look at me. So I just think my growth has, just took it to the next level.
Dumb question. I was watching a film of the Jaguars earlier and Justin Blackmon in a preseason game against the Ravens. He made a break into the middle of the field full speed, but not everybody can do that, correct? Is it hard while you're going full speed to make the break you need?
That's definitely, if he done that, I haven't watched him, but if he done that, that's definitely a talent. That's probably one of the hardest routes to run. It's called a dagger, to run full speed and to break and still have concentration on the ball. So, that's one of the routes I'm still working on. To put in my game.
Through the final six or seven games last year, you averaged like 7 receptions a game, about 70 yards a game. I think you had 5 touchdowns, 1 rushing. At the end of the year, you had a wonderful season, but at the end of the year, things were just very comfortable with you and Christian, or you and Joe. So you started with Donovan, then you go into Christian, then you have Christian Joe. As a receiver, is that difficult?
It was, but going from Joe and Christian, it's not that much of a difference because they both tend to scramble. They both have scrambling abilities. They both has a strong arm. So it's not that difficult. Their ball's pretty much the same. They both throw a good ball. So it's not too much a difference. The only difference was going from, Donovan. He threw a different ball than the rest of those guys.
Give us some reasons you think the Vikings can be 10-6 or above this year.
Just the hard work, the dedication we put in this whole off season. We're fresh, we're healthy, so we're just looking out there to go execute, and we have good faith in this team right now.
Pretty balanced, too, Adrian and Toby. Then you got a couple of nice tight ends. You get Jerome Simpson back in week 4, and then, of course, you from the slot. It's about as good a balance as you've seen here outside of 09 since you've been here, right?
We can only thank the ownership. I think they put together they brought in a lot of good guys, a lot of young guys, a lot of speed on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of big guys on offense, receivers. So, like I said, we just got to go out there and execute. We put in a lot of the work, so we just got to go in Sunday and cash out.
You live in Jacksonville. Any trash talking with any friends or family members about this game coming up this weekend?
Actually, I had this offseason with Rasheem Mathis. I ran into him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So we talked trash a little bit, but we both said that we looked forward to going against each other.
Is Jacksonville a good pro football town, or is it more a college football town?
I think the Gators and the rest of the college town probably rule Jacksonville.
Percy, thanks for joining the show. Best of luck this weekend, all right?
Thanks for having me.
Percy Harvin, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars this evening. This weekend, that is, 10 o'clock for the pregame on the flagship, 11 a.m. for the network. Thank you, Percy. And then, boom, we kick it off shortly after noon. And what a wonderful opportunity for not only Percy Harvin, but for the rest of the Vikings offense going against a Jaguars defense. And like Percy said, it's more physical and rough and tumble than it is a speed-oriented defense. Like you think speedy defenses, and I immediately start to think guys like Tremont Williams and Charles Woodson in the secondary for the Green Bay Packers, and some other teams emerge around the league, like the Dallas Cowboys right now. We saw them on Wednesday evening with Morris Claiborne and Brandon Carr. All of a sudden, secondary-type guys like Orlando Scandrick and safety Gerald Sensabaugh, they become markedly better because they play more confidently because they are better protected by outstanding cornerbacks. Now, Jacksonville's different than that. Jacksonville wants to beat you up, wants to turn it into a street fight. Jacksonville invites you to run the ball because they want to hit you and they want to strip the ball from you and they want to play the plus-minus game and put their second-year quarterback in a good spot on a short field to win a low-scoring game. That's where Percy Harvin and a guy like Adrian Peterson, guys like that, that's where they obviously not only come in handy every game, but they come in handy in a game like this. It would really be nice if Jerome Simpson were playing in this game, because that outside speed, I think, would really, really be a handful for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But with Percy Harvin, hopefully Adrian Peterson and the rest of the guys, we should be okay this weekend. When we return, Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com puts a wrap on Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Final segment, Vikings Live from Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Happy to be joined by Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. I think a special guest joining us shortly. Just walked by the front door of the Vikings Entertainment Network studios, and we're going to flag down an offensive lineman here. But first, Wabi, good evening, and how excited for the Jaguars game are you?
I'm pumped. You guys have had a good show so far. I think we're going to have a good weekend, a good game on Sunday. We've done radio shows. We've done video interviews, we've done talk shows, and it's been all in anticipation of the season, and it's here. It's awesome.
And looky here, Brandon Fusco, starting right guard for the Minnesota Vikings, nice enough to join us on the show. He just walked into the Vikings Entertainment Network. Brandon, Paul Allen, good to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on.
Did your dad tell you that I met him at Vikings training camp?
Yeah, he told me. I said you're a nice guy, and he told me he met you.
Yeah, he listens to the fan, the flagship for Minnesota Vikings football, so I always like when I hear that, because they'll say, he'll say, in Western Pennsylvania, I stream KFAN.com all the time. And then I'll cut him off in the middle and say, well, yeah, like I say, Brandon's as good as Steve Hutchinson ever was. Probably better than Randall McDaniel. But, you know, being a D2 guy from Slippery Rock, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's very proud of you, obviously.
So he's a big Vikings fan, always wearing that purple. And I'm just glad I could make a name for the family.
Wabi, we have the starting right guard for the Minnesota Vikings here. Do you have any questions for him?
Well, I think it's an appropriate guest to have right now because, and Brandon, you and I were talking earlier, this game is going to be – this is not going to be a finesse, air it out, 600 yards of offense game, is it? This is going to be buckle your chin straps up, put the mouth guards in, hit people in the face game, isn't it?
No, absolutely, yeah. This is going to be a grinded out game. You know, this Jaguars defense got a great front seven, and now, we just got to be as physical as they are up front. We've watched them on film this past week, and they're impressive up front. So we just got to come out with a great attitude and just be physical up front.
Last year, the Vikings had a great find drafting you later in the draft. Now, the Jaguars, they had a great find too, but they had to take him earlier than people thought they'd have to take him, and that's Tyson Alualu. He's a defensive tackle. He's from Cal. He's going to line up across from you quite a bit, I'm guessing. Tell us about him.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. Fast for his size. I mean, he's a big kid. I think he ran under 5 flat in his 40, so he's really athletic for his size and just very good with his hands. Plays upfield, very quickly. He's going to give me penetration right away, but I just got to be physical with my hands and be physical with my play. Just play my game, basically. The way I play is aggressive. So.
Brandon Fusco, right guard for the Minnesota Vikings. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend at noon. Let's take a peek at both sides of the record. What do you do well when you're really on your game and you feel like you're in the flow and you're seeing it clearly and being physically imposing? What do you do well?
Just putting people on the ground. I think while I'm in my zone A game, I use my strength and my power and whatnot, but I just use my attitude out there. Just get underneath the guys' pads and just put them on the ground. Just play nasty out there. There's no question every game I'm going to be playing with the little nastiest.
Other side of it, second year, Slippery Rock, where do you need improvement?
It's technique-wise, my pass game. Sullivan and Phil right beside me, just helping me out along the way. They've been behind me ever since entering training camp and helping me out with these techniques. But just got to keep working on little things and just watching film, practice, and whatnot.
All right, we have two pretty good running backs, all right? Yeah. We have Adrian, we have Toby, but they're different, right?
Yeah.
They have different styles.
Yeah.
They're both going to play quite a bit this season. So for you, does it matter who's back there? Does it change your blocking style or any way that you play based on who's back in the backfield?
No. You know, we get a play, and we're just lined up and just get after it. And these guys, I know, you know, Adrian and Toby are two great players, two different styles. You know, Adrian's with that speed, and he's going to make you good with make you look good with those cuts. And, you know, Toby's with that power, and, you know, he's just going to run through arm tackle. So, but these guys are great backs, and they make us look good. We just got to block for them open holes.
Hey, Brandon, how important was this specifically for you, second-year guy you're going to start? The least experienced guy on the line outside of Khalil, obviously. How important was it that right after they take Matt Khalil in the draft, the offensive line as a unit was together at the facility basically every day in the offseason, even before you could have contact and stuff? John Sullivan, you know, the bona fide leader not only of the line but certainly one of the team, he indicates to me that was very important to keep us all together for week after week after week. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this offseason program has really helped me, I mean, in the offensive line as well. Just last year with the lockout, I really wasn't, you know, up to par with everything. It felt like everything was 100 miles per hour. The game slowed down a lot for me, and just to get that chemistry as a whole in line, you know, we have a whole different attitude this year, and we're very excited about it.
You know, last point here for Brandon Fusco, starting right guard for the Vikings. Late in the season, you'll have fans looking at that game saying, please lose, please lose, please lose, finish on two wins, so maybe we can be drafted higher in the draft. But where they don't see the forest for the trees is that game for you, quite honestly, might be the reason you're starting against Jacksonville this weekend, because you had to come into that game and played so well that it opened not only the coach's eyes but Rick Spielman's eyes. And if you had that attitude of, you know what, I couldn't care less if we win or not, it's a loser season, I'm just going to try again next year, then that could severely impact your future in the game.
Yeah, I mean, the wins and losses are big in this league, you know that, but you know, we just got to come out, you know, just do our thing. I just, you know, the wins and losses will come. The wins will come. You just got to keep playing our game and just do what we do.
Good luck, man.
Thanks. I appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Yep. Brandon Fusco, right guard for the Minnesota Vikings, starts this weekend opposite C.J. Mosley, a former Viking, came into the league, I believe, in 2005 as a sixth-round pick from Missouri, had three sacks and 19 tackles in his first season with the Vikings.
Yep.
Bounced around the league a little bit, Wobby, ended up with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They recently re-signed him. Next to him, Tyson Alualu with a Jeremy Mincy as their right defensive end, and rookie Andre Branch is their left defensive end. You weekly, every Thursday on my 9 to noon show at KFAN.com at about 9:55, you give us the opposition update. You spend a lot of time at the facility talking to people, looking at film, reading yep. stories, and learning more about the opposition. Tell us about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, we got into it a little bit with Brandon. This front seven now is physical. I mean, this isn't – you look at Jacksonville's record, and it was poor last season, and they weren't on TV a lot, and when they were, it didn't look very good. You have the Maurice Jones-Drew holdout.
Yep.
But this front seven for Jacksonville defensively is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and it's stout. And it's something that the Vikings are going to have to contend with. I mean, the Vikings are predicated on running the ball because it opens up the pass.
Yep.
They have Toby. They have Adrian. But it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to be able to do so. Brandon Fusco,
Correct.
John Sullivan, those guys are going to have to be on their game because
yep.
these guys, Tyson Alualu, Andre Branch, I mean, it's stout. It's not a joke. So, and I like Brandon's attitude. I mean, you can tell he's a guy who likes to play football. He wants to get nasty and mean, and this is his type of game. I mean, this is a great game for him to jump in and get his first start. I mean, this is his type of game going against this front seven, and it's going to be a great matchup when Bill Musgrave and that offensive staff try and scheme a running game against this front seven.
When does the Wobcast with you and yours truly at Vikings.com, when is it posted at Vikings.com? When can we go back and watch it?
Now. It's on
listen
there.
To it.
Yeah, it's a 2012 preview edition, plus we get into Jacksonville. You join us. I mean, you're one of the first guests to join multiple times on the Wobcast.
Okay, now that's Vikings.com. It's Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. We thank Brandon Fusco for joining us. You can listen back to the Wobcast, not only with yours truly, but, I mean, Jared Allen, Chris Cook. I mean, you've had a zillion players
on
there.
You know who else we had on there? Oh. Michelle Tafoya, who does the NBC Sunday Night
yep.
Football games.
Get her?
She was early. She was one of the first guests. So we try and get outside of the box sometimes.
Yeah.
We get players sometimes.
Very
so
edgy.
It's
very controversial. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you're right about that.
But anyway, what I'm getting at is when we were taping it earlier today, and you
yes,
can watch
Paul.
It back at Vikings.com, I really thought you were getting way out of your lane with the point that you were making, and I was trying not to laugh. But at the end of the point, I think you tripped upon something That was an elite football mind take.
What?
It was about Jerome Simpson.
Yeah.
When you tried to call him not playing the first three games a positive. Okay, well, now I'm not going to come into Vikings.com and try to upstage the host. So I'm just going to let you do your thing, throw the interception. I'm going to go 30-20-10, spike the ball, kiss the lady, and run into the locker room.
Yeah.
But at the end of the equation, the way you phrased it and broke it down,
to
be honest with you, I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, thank you. You know what we call that? Serendipity.
Correct.
Right? When
positive transpiring from misfortune.
Correct. And that's what I think can happen. You know, it's a negative that Jerome Simpson will not be with us for the first three games because it's obvious that he and Christian have a great rapport, and he's going to be able to stretch the field vertically. But he's not going to be with us for those first 3 weeks. So what the Vikings are going to have to do is figure out how to move the ball offensively without Jerome, and they're going to do that for 3 weeks. Then Jerome is going to come back.
Yep.
Okay? And that is going to mix things up for the Vikings. So after we establish these tendencies and these habits and teams are watching film and they're saying, okay, well, when it's third and long and the Vikings are in zebra formation, they do this X percent of the time, okay? That's going to happen after 3 weeks. But now you're going to throw Jerome Simpson back into the mix after three games, and it's going to be an entirely new mix of offense for the Vikings. So I think it's serendipity. It's something positive that comes from a negative.
Well, there's no doubt, because you are forced, in essence, to go outside of the box and work on things that are uncomfortable. In that, we want to explode. We want to go deep down the field with Jerome Simpson. We tried to do that last year with Bernard Berry, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Actually, technically, early in the season, Bernard was doing his part. It's the former quarterback couldn't close the deals, or else we might have beaten San Diego or Detroit, specifically Detroit. But when you get Jerome back, it's going to be great because it's almost going to be like you're wearing a piece of clothing or a suit that's just way too small.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, the buttons burst off, and you just feel great.
And it's disposable, yeah.
Yep, there's no doubt. And everything around the field opens up markedly more. And I talked to Leslie Frazier about this earlier in the radio show on Vikings Live from Winter Park, is when you have your full complement of Percy Harvin, Jerome Simpson, John Carlson, Kyle Rudolph, Adrian Peterson, Toby Gerhardt, and Christian Ponder, we're going to score more than 21 points a game like we scored last year, don't you think?
Well, I think so. I mean, that was the theme of the offseason, and you and I talked about it a countless number of times. We talked about it on this program, was it's all about Christian Ponder. And I think the Vikings did a good job of that. I mean, they draft, and let's not forget, Matt Khalil's part of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a big part.
You named the skill position players. Matt Khalil's a big part of that, too. Then all the players that you mentioned, you draft some receivers in the draft, and you select some receivers in the draft. Jarius Wright, although he may not play this weekend, he's going to be a long-term fixture.
Yeah, I think he's out.
He's going to be a long-term fixture for this offense. So, you know, it's been all about Christian Ponder, and I think the Vikings executed that theme very well. And we are going to score more points than we did last season. And you add in the
prediction.
Yes, I just predicted something.
That's
unbelievable.
We're going to score more than 21 points a game.
I think so.
So do I.
And
I guarantee it.
The offensive line is going to be better. Our skill position players are better. Our running game is going to be good. I think our offensive line is going to be more solidified. I mean, we've talked about how the selection of Matt Khalil is great for the pass protection and the run blocking, but it's great because we slide Charlie Johnson to his more natural position at left guard. You're good with John Sullivan at center, and I think the right side is young and getting better and improving. And more than 21 points a game. I think that should be expected from this offense. And I think Bill Musgrave and the Rick Spielmans and the Leslie Fraziers, they would say to you, we hope to score more than that.
Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. I'm Vikings Live from Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. Earlier, very in-depth, comprehensive, and expressive interviews with the likes of Percy Harvin and Bill Musgrave.
Yep.
Had an elongated conversation with the head coach, Leslie Frazier, to start the show. You can eventually podcast all of that via KFAN.com and the Purple On Demand coverage. We are with you each and every Thursday night at 6 o'clock, analyzing and handicapping Minnesota Vikings football, walking you up to the Sunday games, where this Sunday, for the flagship FM 100.3, The Fan, the pregame show begins at 10 a.m. Then for network affiliates, you pick us up at 11, and then we kick it off against the Jaguars shortly after noon. To the defensive side of the ball, Kevin Williams.
Yeah.
I think this needs to be a big season for Kevin Williams. He finished okay last year, but the defense where it is now, specifically up the middle, the two tackles, question with the middle linebacker who might be okay, then a couple of young safeties.
Yeah.
Kevin Williams, I think, needs to have a big year for this defense to have a sound season.
10-year veteran, top 10 in Vikings history and sacks, and a guy who was part of that Williams wall that was so stout up against the run. And,
You know, the other thing for Kevin is he needs a running mate. He needs someone to line up next to him on a consistent basis.
Somebody to grab onto.
Yes, who can penetrate the defense and can help Kevin be stout against the run.
Yeah.
So if we can get that, and maybe it's not going to be one player. You know, Pat Williams now, that's a unique player.
It's a team game.
There aren't Pat Williamses walking around the streets that you can sign.
No.
All right? So maybe it'll be a rotational thing with Fred Evans and LaTroy Guy on and Christian Ballard. Maybe you can slide Everson Griffin in there. But Kevin needs someone next to him that is also playing well and commands some attention. And if Kevin can get that, I think he will have a good season. I think Kevin, 10 years into it, playing that position where you're grinding every single season and getting beat up.
Yep.
It's easy to wear down, but I think Kevin still has plenty left in the tank to have a good season. And how many times, Paul, have we talked about the importance of the defensive tackles in this defense, keeping blockers off of our linebackers? You know, and if Kevin and defensive tackle du jour can do that, I think that opens up a big season for Chad Greenway and Jasper Brinkley and Aaron Henderson.
Yeah, I talked to Chad Greenway earlier today with the same old cliched question that he gets frequently into games and into the season, but I wanted to do it a different way because I told Chad in our weekly interview that airs at 9:20 tomorrow from Buffalo Wild Wings Apple Valley, taped it today, it airs tomorrow, you're going to lead the team in tackles. All right, now you've heard this question a zillion times. Let me ask it a different way. Of sacks, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, and interceptions, which one do you think you will have more of this year? Not how are you going to get it? Do you think you need to get it? Why don't you get splashy? Of them, which one? He cut me right off and he said, all of them.
Oh, nice.
But I'm going to play within the restrictions of the defense, which was kind of a sidewinding way for him to say, this is the position in which they put me because it's best for the team. So if I end up with 150 tackles and 14 tackles for loss, but I'm down on the sacks and the interceptions and the forced fumbles, it doesn't mean he's not having a good season because anybody who watched Chad Greenway last year knows he had a wonderful season.
But I don't wonder if that's going to change those splash plays. I think those are going to increase for him, and here's why. I have two reasons why. Mm-hmm. The first one is, you've said it. This was your take, and I think it was brilliant. Teams are going to try to pass into our 4-3, right? Mm-hmm. And you said that with Jasper Brinkley on the field.
Just guessing.
That's something.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, that is what you would
do. I'd see Jasper Brinkley and Aaron Henderson and say, I'm going to throw against you. And then when Jasper comes out, I would look at the safeties along with Aaron Henderson and the third corner, and I'd say, I'm going to make you tackle.
Okay, so they're going to throw more at Chad Greenway, who will be out there. Obviously, on first down, he's a three-down linebacker.
Three-down guy.
So maybe he's going to have more opportunities for an interception. He can capitalize on those. Here's the other thing. Uh-huh. You've heard Leslie Frazier say, we want to play more man defense this year. What that does is it makes linebackers more scheme diverse. Maybe they're going to bring some pressures and some blitzes. Uh-huh. That could increase Chad Greenway's sack total. If the Vikings feel that they have the depth in the secondary to play more man defense, that gives them the ability to send those linebackers on pressures. We saw some of that in the preseason. Jasper Brinkley had a sack against San Diego. So maybe that's what new defensive coordinator Alan Williams is going to do. He's going to try and play more man because he finally has the bodies to do it, and that he's going to send guys like Chad Greenway after the quarterback.
Let's go over to special teams for the final few minutes of the show.
Sounds good.
Percy Harvin is the primary kick returner.
Of course. Let's
not forget what Percy Harvin did to begin the 2011 season. Catches it 3 yards deep in the end zone.
Gone.
Put a cue around Percy at Qualcomm, and there he goes. And straight right all the way over to the left. There he goes. And then after that, we get the ball. McNabb in his very first pass throws it right to Sean Phillips. Turned out to be a harbinger for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we lose that game. But Percy started it beautifully. Percy Harvin told me today that if he catches a kick 7 yards deep in the end zone, he's coming out.
Good. I love that.
Percy, 7 yards deep? He goes, I'm coming out.
Teams were doing that in the preseason.
Well, I understand
Here's the thing.
They do that to set up the blocking to see how everybody blocks.
Yeah,
7 yards deep? Well, Are you kidding me?
And that's probably going to happen here on Sunday because Josh Scobie is their place kicker, and he also handles kickoffs. 60% touchback rate last season for Josh Scobie, which was fifth in the NFL.
Mm.
So the guy can boom it. Now, this preseason, he had 20 kickoffs. 11 of them were touchbacks. So we're going to be in the Metrodome at Mall of America Field. It's a controlled environment. Wind isn't going to be a factor. I mean, Josh Scobie is going to have a very good opportunity for touchbacks. And if he doesn't get a touchback, it will at least be deep into the end zone.
Yeah.
So Percy will probably have that choice when he catches a kickoff to take it out or not. I don't know if that's really the plan. That might be what Percy wants to do. Mike Prefer might have a different idea.
Who's going to tell Percy no?
Not me, because he'll go 107 yards for the touchdown.
Yeah.
So I hope that they tried him out there for the first kickoff and he houses it. That'd be great.
I want the rookie kicker from Georgia, Blair Walsh.
Yeah.
I want him to – I don't care what the final score of the game is, whether it's high scoring. I couldn't care less. Just as long as we win, it would be fantastic. I want the Vikings at one point of the game to be trailing by two, maybe late in the game. For whatever the reason, we're trailing by two. Let's just do the whole coup de grace. Forget this. We beat Jacksonville. Then maybe we beat Indy.
Yeah.
How about Blair Walsh against San Francisco, down by two, 4 seconds to go, Mall of America Field on its feet.
Game winner.
And the kid walks off a winner against the Niners. It all starts this weekend for the rookie Blair Walsh. Is he up to the task?
Yeah, he is. I mean, that would be a great way to start his career. Now, the other thing with Blair, you talk about saving points. Field goals save you points. They salvage drives, obviously. Yeah. Another way to save points, save yards, is on kickoffs. And that's another spot in the game where Blair can really help us is on kickoffs, because if the opposing offense is starting on the 20-yard line, or if Blair's kick goes deep into the end zone and they try and take it out, and Jamarcus Sanford and company come down and cover it and stop him inside the 20, that's going to make life easier for our defense, especially when you're playing at home. So Blair's got a couple of opportunities to help this team. One is on those field goals. One is on kickoffs. Now, to set him up for a game winner late in the game, to watch him hit it, I think that would ease a lot of people's concerns, especially the 65,000 sitting in those seats. Who, I mean, the fans now, you depart with Ryan Longwell and you bring in a rookie kicker and you use a draft pick to get him. The fans are going to be concerned about that naturally. The team is confident in it. I'm confident in the decision. But I think if Blair could hit that game winner, that would ease a lot of people's concerns
Bobby,
about him.
Thanks for the elongated segment. We had some situations out here at Winter Park where we were only able to have Bill Musgrave and Percy Harvin for a couple of seconds.
Yep.
That'll change weekly. Thank you very much for the long segment. Likewise, thanks to Brandon Fusco, Leslie Frazier, Jay Nelson here at the Vikings Entertainment Network, of course, Mr. Brian Harper, and Joe Nelson with the flagship KFAM. For all of us at Vikings Live from Winter Park, I'm Paul Allen. Vikings, Jaguars, Sunday at noon on your home for Vikings football, the Minnesota Vikings or Radio Network.